Good morning and welcome to our worship this morning at Wilmslow Methodist Church and welcome also to anybody who's listening to the service later and anyone who's visiting us for the first time. Coffee will be served as usual after the service. The children will be going out to Sunday Kids as usual. I'd just like to draw your attention to a couple of points in the printed notices. This afternoon we have our service to remember those who have died. We are hosting it here and Kirsty Thorpe will be leading the service. But it would be nice if we had some people from our congregation here at the service. And in particular, we could do with somebody to help serve refreshments after the service. So if you can help with this, please have a word with me after the service. Also, on the notices, you'll see that next Saturday morning, at 10 o'clock, we'll be hosting Heartbeat Prayer, which is a circuit event which moves around and takes place in a different church in the circuit every month to offer prayers for the circuit, the churches, and next week in particular because it's Remembrance Weekend. So please do come and support that. It will be led by Chris Goddard and Louise Goff and other members of the circuit team. I think that's all. Very pleased to welcome Pat James to lead our service this morning following the introit by the choir.
Good morning and welcome. It's great to be here together to worship God. Psalm 66 says, "Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give him glorious praise." So we're going to sing number 353, "Jesus is Lord." And we have some percussion instruments. Would anybody like some maracas or a tambourine or... You don't have to be a child to have percussion. If anybody else would like, I can bring it to you. I'm going to have maracas. I like maracas. What does anybody else like? Can we choose them? There, we've got, there's bells. That's for tapping, that one. You can have bells to shake. Do you want to take one for each hand? That's a good idea. There, what would you like? Okay. Anybody else? No? That's fine. We will make a joyful noise together. We're going to praise God for the things that we can do, and it goes like this. There's a line about what we can do. We can dance and we can sing, and then I will say, we give thanks to God, and then we can all say together, we give him praise. We give thanks to God, we give him praise. So let us pray. We can dance and we can sing. We give thanks to God and we give him praise. We can laugh and we can cry. We give thanks to God and we give him praise. We can learn and we can play. We give thanks to God and we give him praise. We can run and we can rest. We give thanks to God and we give him praise. We can give and we can share. We give thanks to God and we give him praise. For the food we eat and the strength it gives, we give thanks to God and we give him praise. For games to play and friends to play with, we give thanks to God and we give him praise. For songs to sing and praise to give, we give thanks to God and we give him praise. For God's forgiveness, even when we are wrong, that he loves us and helps us to begin again, we give thanks to God and we give him praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I've got a balloon. And I've got a pen. Would anybody like to write on the balloon? Thank you. And I've got would you write faith on that balloon, please? I've got another balloon. Would somebody else like to write on this balloon? Would you like to write that? Would you like to write love on that balloon, please? Oh, thank you. Thank you. Now, if you're sitting at the back, is it easy to read those words? No, it's not, is it? The faith and the love are quite small. Is anybody good at blowing up balloons? I've got a balloon blower. I've got a puffer that helps. Would anybody like to... Oh, thank you very much. Would you like to blow up the balloons and then tie them up? And there's some strings to put on them. If you sit down, and we'll do something else while you're doing that. So we're not watching. Ooh, let's see. Right, while that's happening, I've got a question for you. Have you ever done anything really special that you'd like to tell us about? It might be learning to do something tricky like, tying your shoelaces or running a marathon or learning to do something new like swimming or even mastering technology, getting to grips with the new controls on the telly or working out how to play a new game. Have a think, and you might want to chat to the people near you. It could be something that a friend or relative has done that you would like to tell us about. Well, I can hear lots of chatting going on. Would anybody like to tell me about something special? Yes.
I went on a very high zip line in Costa Rica.
I am full of admiration. I would not have the nerve to go on a very high zip wire, even if it was in Costa Rica. Anything else? You must have been learning something new. No. Yes. You cycled up to the Cat and Fiddle. That sounds like it's a pretty steep road.
Yes, an achievement.
Yeah, that's a great achievement to cycle all the way up to the Cat and Fiddle.
I went up in the hot air balloon over Bristol.
Oh.
I really wanted to go, but it was
wonderful. Wow, went up in a hot air balloon over Bristol. That's something I've always wanted to have the nerve to do, but never quite managed it. The views must have been fantastic.
Yes,
brilliant. Brilliant. Did you come down with a bump?
Yeah, on the golf course.
Came down with a bump on the golf course. That's.
We had to move it.
But the golfer's got a surprise.
It was dusk.
Right. Yes.
I've driven a JCB digger and a horse. And I've been in another culture and I've heard some Japanese.
So, driven a JCB digger, driven a bus. When you were 15?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. And this week, you've learned some Japanese.
Yeah.
That's amazing. All these wonderful things that we've done, or other people have done, and we can celebrate those things. These special achievements are really important to us. And today, we're going to hear about some people that Paul thought were really special. Now, I'm going to get the I can see the balloons have blown up. Wonderful. Thank you very much. And they have strings attached to them. Now, let's see. Sorry. I got my microphone. Is it easier to read? What happened? Oh! Now, you can tell I didn't try this out, can't you? Because you can't really. From back there, that says love in big letters now. But it's very pale on the yellow, whereas on the white it shows up really well. The faith and the love have grown, and these words have grown because of the air that was put into them. And our faith and love can grow when we let the Holy Spirit into our lives. I'll put them somewhere safe. When we let the Holy Spirit into our lives, we live close to God and we will march in God's light. And so we're going to sing number 483. We are marching in the light of God. And it's another good song for percussion. So let's stand as we are able and sing number 483. Thank you. a prayer before the children leave. Father God, we ask you to bless each one of us now as we learn more about you. Help us to listen and to join in. Amen. Does it just pop it in? Doesn't matter where it goes. Want to pop it down there with the other bells? Thank you very much. That's lovely, doing the tidying up. And now we're going to have our reading from the Old Testament. Thank you.
The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who asked this from your hand? Trample my courts no more. Bring offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and calling of convocation. I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity. Your new moons and your appointed festivals my soul hates. You have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed and defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us argue it out, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Amen.
Thank you. We come to our prayers of confession. Let us pray. Lord, we confess that we are overwhelmed by our sense of responsibility. We bring to you our burden of concern for ourselves and for the world, for the way we have lived, for what we have said and what we have done, for what we have failed to be and refused to become. Lord, our burden is too heavy for us, and we cannot carry it alone. We cannot carry it any longer. By the grace of your forgiveness, lift from our shoulders the despair, the hurt, the weakness, and the failures that weigh us down, and set us free to live again the life you always meant us to live, through Christ, the true liberator of all. Amen. In our next hymn, we ask God to transform us. It's number 471. Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed, renewed. Let's stand as we are able and sing number 471. In a few minutes, we're going to have a reading from Paul's letter to the people who lived in Thessalonia. Do you know much about Thessalonia? No? Well, you do. You went there last year. Well, please do tell us all about it when we're having coffee. We'd love to hear about it. But I know very little, so I've invited Paul to come and tell us something about it. Good morning. Delighted to be here. You were wondering where Thessalonia is. Well, you'll be able to verify it's in the northern part of Greece. I was on my travels with Silas, spreading the news about Jesus, and we went to Europe for the very first time. The longest we stayed anywhere was in Corinth. We spent 18 months there, teaching the people about Jesus, but that came later. We started off in Philippi. I expect you've heard all about that. We'd upset the people who owned a slave girl, so they had us whipped and thrown into prison. That wasn't nice, but it all ended well. There was an earthquake, and we told the prisoners not to run away. The jailer was so amazed that we'd all stayed put that he was converted and got baptized. He let us go the very next day. He discovered that we were Roman citizens, and I reckon he thought we were just too hot to handle, so we left. It wasn't long before we got to Thessalonica, a big place on the main road across the country, the Via Egnatia. You could meet all sorts of people there, Greeks, of course, and Romans, people from high society and ordinary working people. If you were part of high society, you lived really well. For ordinary working people, it was a hand-to-mouth existence. They struggled to feed themselves and their families. Well, we had a message to proclaim, so we did what we always did. We went to the Jewish synagogue and tried to tell the people there that Jesus was the Messiah that they'd been hoping and waiting for so long. It went swimmingly at first, well, for about 3 weeks. Some of the men got quite excited about what we were telling them and believed in Jesus, and so did a fair number of women. And then there were some Greeks who'd learned to worship our God. They got enthusiastic about Jesus too. It was a fantastic start. We really should have seen the trouble coming. The problem was that some of the Jewish folk weren't too happy about what we were saying. I think it was the leaders, really. They saw people becoming Christians, and they started to realize that their power and influence was slipping away. Nobody wants to lose their power and influence. So they wanted to stop the church before it had really got going. Mind you, they didn't take action themselves. Oh no, they kept themselves squeaky clean. They just hired anyone who'd do their dirty work for them, for a coin or a drink. So they'd got together a mob, ready to rough people up. And because they'd heard that we were staying with Jason, they went round to his house, battered down the door and dragged him out. Well, poor Jason must have thought that his last hour had come. They found some of the other believers too and hauled them up to the city hall. They told the Roman bigwigs that we were dangerous rebels, telling people to pledge their allegiance to Jesus rather than to the emperor. I think they wanted blood, but they didn't get it. Perhaps the authorities didn't trust their story. Anyway, all they did was make the believers pay a fine and then sent them home. The believers rushed to find us and told us to get out of town as quickly as we could. So we did. We really felt for the people that we were leaving behind, because we could see it was going to be pretty tough to be a Christian in Thessalonica. To be honest, we weren't sure whether they could hold on to their faith or not. But praise God, they did. And we wrote to them to encourage them. We were really, really proud of them. So now, let's hear an extract from that letter that I wrote.
Second letter of Paul to the Thessalonians, reading from verse 1. Paul, Silvanus and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We must always give thanks to God for your brothers and sisters, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God, for your steadfastness and faith during all your persecutions and the afflictions that you are enduring. To this end, we always pray for you, asking that our God will make you worthy of his call and will fulfill by his power every good resolve and work of faith, so that in the name of the Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. If you'd been a member of the church in Thessalonica, how would you have felt when you heard that a letter had arrived and it had come from Paul, Just imagine being an ordinary working man or woman living there. At that time, sending a letter would have been a difficult and expensive thing to do. So receiving a letter was no ordinary, everyday thing. I think I'd have been pretty excited. And you can just imagine the whispers going round. We've got a letter from Paul. Come to Jason's house tonight. He's going to read the letter to all of us so we can hear it together. So you go along. Everyone's squashed in, but nobody minds. Everyone's excited. What will Paul say? When everyone's quiet, Jason begins to read. Paul, Silvanus and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is sending us grace and peace from God our Father and from Jesus. Grace and peace. We'll need to think about what that means for us. To have God's grace and peace in our lives. We must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly. Paul's heard about us and says that our faith is growing. It's hard to see that about yourself, but we are trusting God more than we used to. And the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Well, that's true. We are getting better at looking after one another. Therefore, we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God, for your steadfastness and faith during all your persecutions and the afflictions that you are enduring. Paul boasts about us. He tells the other churches about us. Wow. So why does he boast about us? It's because of our steadfastness and faith during all the persecutions and afflictions that we are enduring. Well, it's not easy following Jesus when you live in Thessalonia. There are so many people who see us as a threat. The Jewish leaders and the Greek temple leaders, they don't like it when people stop going to the synagogue and the temple and start coming to our meetings instead. And the Romans see us as a threat because we pledge allegiance to Jesus, and they think that our allegiance should all go to the emperor. So they make life difficult for us too. And Paul says, we always pray for you. That's so encouraging to know that Paul is always praying for us. And he says he prays for us because he's asking God to make us worthy of his call. To be worthy of God's call. We've all been called to do different things, and we can feel so inadequate. So it's great to hear what Paul says next. He's asking that our God will fulfill his power, fulfill by his power, every good resolve and work of faith. So we're not expected to do this alone. No, Paul asks God to fulfill every good resolve by his power. It's God's power working in us that enables us to do those things that we resolve to do. So many times I've thought of something good that I could do, but I've chickened out at the last minute, lost my confidence and missed the opportunity. I need to remember that it's God's power working in me that will enable me to do those things, those works of faith. I need to invite God to come and work in me, work through me. God doesn't force himself on us. He only comes in if we invite him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you, and you with me. Paul goes on. so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thought, that people will see what we do and they'll give glory to Jesus. We will give glory to Jesus. There's so much to think about when you get a letter from Paul. I can't wait to hear the rest of the letter. So that's what someone living in Thessalonia might have thought about Paul's letter, but what about us living in Wilmslow in 2019? Paul says that he boasts about the church in Thessalonia. Boasting isn't something that we do. It's not very British, is it? What do we talk about enthusiastically? Well, if I go to the theatre and see a good play or hear a great concert at the Bridgewater Hall, I tell my friends about it. I want them to share my enjoyment. I want to encourage them to go. What about church? What could we say to encourage people to come along? We know our church really well, don't we? And we're all too aware of its faults, and sometimes that's all that we can see. But have a think. Maybe talk to the person next to you. What are the good things that happen here that you would want to invite a friend or a neighbour to come along to? What's good about church? Do have a chat. Well, you've found a lot to chat about. Would you like to tell me about anything that's good that you would like to tell people about?
Have an open welcome for families.
Open welcome for families. I'm going to write these down because we're going to use them in our prayers later on. Sorry, that was an open welcome for families with young children. Yes.
I think it's a nice field to belong.
A place to belong.
Yes,
yes, it's lovely, isn't it?
The springboard for actions in the community and various charitable activities that come from this church and other churches.
Right, yes. So a springboard for... Sorry, what was the first thing? Springboard for action in the community and supporting charities, yes. And working with the other churches. Yes. a place to hear the word of God. Yes.
A place where there's Christian fellowship.
And we can invite other people to come and enjoy that with us, can't we? Yes. Yes.
I find it amazing that for 2,000 years or a bit less than that maybe, we have been doing this sort of thing, coming together to worship, to pray, and to hear the word of God. It's quite amazing, and I like to be reminded of it.
Right. So it's amazing that for 2,000 years we've been coming together to worship God, and it's wonderful to be part of that. So continuing worship. Yes. The people who are welcomed into the premises all during the week, and the many people who serve them, and for the playgroup. Well, we'll remember all of those really good things in our prayers later on. And as I said before we started, we can be really aware of the faults, our own personal faults, and the faults in the church. So it might be that there are some things that need to change as the church and change as individuals. And our reading from Isaiah talked about a need for change. Were you surprised when you listened to that reading? It came across really much as God telling off the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I've had the privilege of reading this several times. So I've had a chance to think about this. And what surprised me was, well, I've always thought Sodom and Gomorrah was a place that was where it was just evil. Everybody did wrong things. But actually, they were doing some things right. They were saying their prayers. They were celebrating the festivals. They were making animal sacrifices, which seems really odd to us, but it was their way of worshipping at the time. So they celebrated, and they appeared to be leading lives that gave honour to God, just like we do. But actually, the things that they were doing weren't what God wanted. He wanted them to change. He wants them to learn to do good. And the way we heard about was to do good by seeking justice, by rescuing the oppressed, by defending the orphans and pleading for the widows. Maybe this is something that we need to be doing as individuals or as a church. And you are already doing lots of things here, as we've heard, to show God's love for your brothers and sisters and for the people of Wilmslow. You have all sorts of activities for children and the Dementia Cafe, the mindfulness courses and the mindfulness services. And even if you're not able to come and be involved in these activities, we support them with our prayers, don't we? At harvest time, you supported the charity, the Shreeper Village in Bangladesh. And a couple of weeks ago, you had a retiring collection for Vision Beyond Autism. You're doing all sorts of things. But how do we sustain that level of loving people in God's name? It's by letting the Holy Spirit work in us. As we saw earlier with the balloons, God's love will grow within us when the Holy Spirit, God's breath, is working in us. We all have the Holy Spirit in our hearts, but this isn't a once-in-a-lifetime thing to receive the Holy Spirit. We can be filled again and again with the Spirit. Would you like to be filled again with the Holy Spirit today? I'm going to say a prayer now, and If you would like to be filled with the Spirit, just put your hands out in front of you as though you're ready to receive a gift. So let us pray. Lord, we long to be filled with your Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit upon us now. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill our hearts with your love. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill our minds with your peace. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us so that our faith will grow. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The people in Thessalonica who became followers of Jesus made a radical change in their way of living. And this is reflected in our next song, number 489, All I Once Held Dear. Number 489. Please, could we take up the collection?
Thank you.
Father, we bring to you our gifts of money, which represent our time, our skills, and our service. We bring them with grateful thanks in the name of Jesus, your greatest gift to us all. Amen. In our prayers for the world, we are focusing on Christians who are suffering persecution, like the church in Thessalonica. And the information comes from Release International, who work with local partners in 25 different countries. They listen to the needs of those who are being persecuted and develop projects to help them. We're going to pray for 6 of those countries. For each country, there's a picture to focus on. We'll have some information, and then we will pray. This is a picture of Christian women in Egypt who are attending a study group. The study group helps them to develop their faith so that they can withstand persecution. It's the women and girls who need this most, as they have had little opportunity to go to school. So they meet in small community groups to study. They learn to pray, to worship, to read the Bible, and they learn more about Jesus. They go home and share what they've learned with their families, and through this, whole communities are being changed. So let's pray. Father God, we lift up to you the women who are part of the study groups. You are their rock, their fortress, and their deliverer. You are their light, so we pray that you would lighten their darkness. May they know the hope to which you have called them, and may they know what are the riches of their glorious inheritance in Christ. We pray that they would be able to stand in your strength, receive your comfort in trials, and know your joy in their daily lives. Sustain them in their suffering and reveal your glory through their tears of joy and sadness, just as you revealed your glory through the suffering of your Son Jesus. For you alone can bring beauty out of brokenness. Amen. This is the flag of Sri Lanka. And you will have heard the terrible news last Easter, how several churches in Sri Lanka were bombed on Easter Sunday morning. Many Christians died. Release International's partners in Sri Lanka are working hard to support the families who are mourning, to support the people who were injured and their families, to support the Christians who witnessed the bombings and are still suffering from shock. So let us pray. Father God, we ask that your love and peace will surround everyone involved in the recent bombings in Sri Lanka. May the stench of destruction be replaced with the fragrance of the Holy Spirit, that the darkness of death will be replaced with your light, the light that the darkness can never put out. Father, we pray for the families who have lost loved ones. Lord, fill them with your peace that passes understanding, that they will find a way to pick up their lives and continue with the work that you have called them to do. We pray for all the injured, that you will give them wholeness and healing, that they will receive the necessary treatments to aid their recovery and heal their broken bodies, that you will minister to them and heal their broken hearts. Lord, we pray that these atrocities will cause all Sri Lankans to work together, that they will turn their back on hatred and persecution of minorities, and that all will become stronger in their love for you. Amen. This is a pastor in India reading his new Bible. He lives in one of the states that has passed anti-conversion laws. Christians say that these laws are being used to curtail church activities, even their social programs. The pastor lives in a rural area where the independent churches have been growing, and their pastors have become a particular target. They are targeted by Hindu nationalists who have been open and violent in opposing the church. Several pastors have been murdered, others beaten. Churches and their congregations have been attacked or threatened. So Release Partners in India support persecuted Christians by providing Bibles to the pastors who are suffering persecution. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to build and strengthen your church in India amid mounting intolerance and hostility towards anyone who is not a Hindu. We pray that the government in India will take a firm stand against religious intolerance, which appears to be growing in their country. For your glory, Amen. You may recognise that these are yurts. They're the houses of the people who live in Central Asia. Christians in Central Asia are facing huge challenges. Most of them are not able to lead ordinary lives. They can be arrested for reading the Bible in a public place, like a bus or a train, or for telling other people about Jesus. Often the homes of pastors or believers are searched and their belongings confiscated by the police because everyday Christian activities like praying together or doing Bible study can be deemed as illegal. So let's pray. Father God, we pray that you will encourage your people in Central Asia who face the prospect of persecution every day. Thank you for people such as Pastor Kashkumbayev in Kazakhstan, who are prepared to face imprisonment for proclaiming your gospel. We give thanks that in the 9-month period that he was in prison, he was faithful and led almost 100 of his fellow inmates to Christ. Amen. This is a picture of a huge church in Funan in central China. This church was built with the permission of the authorities because in China, the government controls everything. One Sunday, a big congregation was worshipping together when they heard a noise outside. Workmen had come with bulldozers and they started knocking down the church with the worshippers inside. It's been completely demolished. And they've been told that they can use an old, unsafe building for their services. In China, Christians are being persecuted along with members of other faiths. This includes prominent Christian lawyers and pastors who have stood up for the rights of the poor. Those who question the authorities can find themselves branded enemies of the state and charged with undermining national security. But even in the face of this persecution, the church in China is growing. So let's pray. Sovereign Lord, we ask you to come in power to Central China to sustain and encourage your people there. We pray that your Christian family will find new creative ways to meet together and to encourage one another in their faith. We pray for a radical change of heart among officials of the state, that they may see the folly of repressing religious liberty and trying to silence the word of God. We praise you, Lord, that Christianity is growing fast in China despite this intense persecution. Amen. I'd like to tell you about two people who live in Pakistan. This is Rubina. Rubina and her family work in the brick kilns. Life is extremely hard. It's extremely hard work, and life is difficult for all of them. But life has become a little easier for Rubina. She's able to earn some extra money to support her family because Release International helped her to set up a small business selling snacks and drinks. I want to tell you about Irfan. I don't have a picture of him, but he's a young man who became a Christian at the age of 17. He was driven out of his village by his family and beaten up. He spent several months living in the fields. He begged for food or relied on the generosity of his friends. Irfan began to tell the people he met about Jesus, and he began to see God working in their lives. In the first year, 6 of his friends became Christians, and now Irfan leads a growing church. He has 11 believers living with him in a small house. Let's pray. Loving and merciful God, we praise you that Rubina's life has been improved with the setting up of her business. We praise you for Irfan's faithfulness in telling people about Jesus. We ask your blessing on the church growing in his house. We thank you for the church in Pakistan, and thank you that it has stood firm in the midst of all the troubles it has endured. May the church in Pakistan know and experience your loving hand and comfort. Please bring peace, harmony, and understanding to this nation. Amen. And now we'll pray for Wilmslow. We'll begin by praising God for the good things that happened here that we talked about earlier on. So let's pray. Father God, we praise you that in your house here there is an open welcome for families with young children. We praise you that it is a place where we can belong and invite other people to belong. We praise you that it is a springboard for action in the community and for working with other churches. We praise you that it's a place to hear the word of God. We praise you for the Christian fellowship we enjoy here. And we praise you that worship of you has continued through 2,000 years and that now we are part of that continuing worship. We praise you for the people who come here during the week and receive a warm welcome, for the volunteers who serve them, and for the playgroup. Father, we praise you for so many good things happening here in your name. In a few moments of quiet, let's name the people we know who need to be blessed by God today. Father, we pray for everyone coming to the service this afternoon to remember those who have died. May they be comforted by the assurance of your love for them. And Father, we ask you to bless each one of us present here today. Lord, we thank you that you have filled us with your Spirit, enabling us to listen to you. Lord Jesus, give us the courage we need to daily open the door of our hearts and invite you in. Lord, we long to eat with you, to be nourished by you, so that we can serve you. Amen. Let's bring our prayers together as we say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our final hymn is number 470, Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided. Let's stand and sing number 470. You are the one who turns our ends into new beginnings. By your Holy Spirit, transform the end of this act of worship into the beginning of daily life lived for you. Change our songs of praise into words and deeds that bring honour to your Son. Renew all our prayers that they may become channels of love, life and hope, not only for ourselves, but for everyone we meet. Amen.